SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell, coast to coast. It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast, in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken head, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny was just out on the back deck in 73 degree weather, wrapping up a fatty and having a little shot of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake, I don't you do, but all my friends that come around, fat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should you do be shake out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's your boy Uncle Futrelli with Carver High and Mafia, along with LTN in Kansas City, Missouri. They could barely beat the Panthers. But they did get the W. Calm down in there, Ty Stick. Stay focused, son. Don't get excited about beating the Panthers by two. All right, greatest team ever. Seven straight Super Bowls. Here we go, birthday roll call. Good to be back. Waxing up, as usual, on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Kyle Rudolph, 31 today. Joel Zamaya, you remember him, 36. Adam Dunn, 41. Billy Guerin, 50. Carver High loves Billy Guerin, especially all those cups he got with the Penguins. Let's go. Teddy Higuera, 63. Roy Jefferson, 77. Whitey Herzog, 89. How about your boy Whitey outliving Alex Trebek? Sad passing of the Jeopardy host. Rest in peace. Everybody loves Alex Trebek. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Cousin Sal will join us momentarily to break down all of his financial losses after another pain day Sunday in the NFL. The Steelers survive his Cowboys with a 24-19 scare at Jerry's World, but they got it done. Pittsburgh 8-0. Don't mess with my Steelers, Ty Stick. Saints embarrass the Bucs on Sunday night. 38-3. Have you ever seen anything like it? People love when Tom Brady loses. They just love to rub it in. Not only that, he lost to the Saints twice this season. Ravens with a big road win in Indy, 24-10. How about the Bills? They beat the Seahawks. Cover! I love picking the Bills over Seattle. That Buffalo team's very tough, I'm telling you. I told a guy today at the gym, it was difficult because he was standing naked next to me as I was getting done working out, and he was talking to me about the Bills. He's a Bills fan. I'm like, hey, I don't really like talking to you when you're naked, but I'm taking the Bills over the Steelers when they play in Buffalo. That'll be the game the Steelers lose. And then he finally got dressed and never spoke to me again. Raiders win a last-second thriller over the Chargers. The Chargers get in their own way every single week. Have you ever seen anything how they lose at the end of games? It's the craziest thing ever. Tua beats Kyler, 34-31. How about the Finskies? Chiefs, hold on. We told you about it. Dalvin Cook, a huge day for the Vikings in their win. And the Pats, Jets tonight at MetLife in East Rutherford, New Jersey, where no one's allowed to go near the stadium or they'll die of the Hanta. Notre Dame beats Clemson in two overtimes. The entire city of South Bend rushed the field after the game. It'll be interesting to see how the super spreader event goes with COVID testing this week. Dabo says Clemson will respond. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from Brian Kelly. And Jerry Palm still projects Clemson to make the playoff and not Notre Dame. So we're going to get Jerry on my radio show, and I'm going to beat his ass. And that'll be easy, because he went to Purdue. Indiana beats Michigan for the first time since 1988. You got to be kidding me. 24 straight they lost to them, but I had Indiana in the cover. I hit 75% of my college football plays on Saturday. Shake it, dude. We welcome in Sports Grid Radio affiliates. We love you on the radio side. Check out Pharrell on the Bench, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beats, Late Night. Get on our YouTube page. Subscribe free. You can watch us do the shows. I pick my nose on the air. It's awesome. People like watching me shove my finger in my nose. And then we talk a lot of sports, and we have a gambling problem. We also have a massive drinking problem on the staff. everywhere. Kansas City, New Jersey, Long Island, all kinds of drinking problems. Jim Harbaugh feels Michigan is close. Close to what? Firing you. Nebraska loses again. Iowa blows out Michigan State. Penn State gets blown out at home by Maryland. How about Tua's little brother rocking it? Ohio State wins, but they don't cover against Rutgers. Is Ohio State, Maryland, the line too big? It's 26.5 on FanDuel right now. Florida rolls Georgia and Jax. 44-28. Trask getting involved. USC rallies from a late deficit to stun Arizona State. I had USC to win and Arizona State to cover. Oregon opens up the Pac-12 with a win over Stanford. Liberty beats Vitek in a last-second field goal. How about BYU spanking Boise State and calling him Charlie? Spanking, call me Charlie! UNC embarrasses Duke. Memphis, last-second win over USF. Utah State fires Gary Anderson. You didn't even know who that was. Arkansas beats the Vols. Their coach, Sam Pittman, tests positive for COVID. He'll work virtually. That means he'll virtually not be a part of anything. A&M destroys South Carolina. Iowa State needs huge second half to come back and beat Baylor. We'll get into everything. Mississippi State, Auburn already canceled this week. A&M suspends football activities. LSU, Bama's in jeopardy. LSU's got a little outbreak at Ahanta. Why are big-time programs like Michigan, Georgia, and Penn State struggling? I'll tell you why. Their quarterbacks all suck. Alex Cora is back as the Red Sox manager. We told you that would happen. The Mets' new owner cleans house in the front office. Bye, Brody. Go back to being an agent. You sucked as a GM. It'll be the last GM job you get. No punishment for Justin Turner after going out on the field after the World Series win, sneezing and licking everybody and giving them the honta. 9 people test positive now in the Dodgers organization. Are they going to trade Lindor in Cleveland? The former Astros GM, Lunau, sues the club for $22 million, said he had nothing to do with the cheating. We'll get into everything. The Masters is this week, if you can even believe it. UFC talk with Mafia. Adam Kaplan's on talking NFL. It's Coast to Coast with Pharrell.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Carver, hi. I knew, and I had this conversation with you at one point or another about I don't trust the Steelers laying that much wood in Dallas, even though the Cowboys are so awful. And sure enough, they covered. And then I also, I can't even fathom what I watched last night with the Buccaneers. How in any way, shape, or form can you say that team's going to the Super Bowl when they get smoked 38-3 in their building on primetime television in the middle of the season? How could that team be going to the Super Bowl? Everybody says they have the best defense. How does my ass sound?
Yeah, welcome back, Scotty, first of all. Good to have you back here, coast to coast. Of course, the bench tonight, too. You're absolutely right. Could you believe it? Like, everybody waited all day for that game. And the good thing for me was I got to get some sleep. I was able to go to bed at halftime. I didn't have to stay up till 11:30 midnight sweating out bets. They put me to bed really early because I had the Bucks last night. I can't trust them anymore, Scott. There's 3 games for me with them. The Bear game, the Giant game last Monday, and last night. I'm done with the Bucks right now. I know a lot of people are jumping off the bandwagon.
Listen, I almost jumped off the roof of my house with the money I lost on that team last night. How does that sound? Like, I don't even know. Are we ready to rock with Cousin Sal? Do we have him here? I think we do. Sal, what did you think of your Cowboys' effort and cover against the Steelers? You probably bet on Dallas, didn't you, with the number on your Fox show and on this show? What'd you do?
I did bet them. I bought an extra point here and there at the end. I had them at plus 15.5, but I was not expecting them to be competitive up and through the fourth quarter, Pharrell. And then I'm watching and I'm like, oh my God, these uniforms. It's taking me back. It's so nostalgic. And we have a quarterback that's not really turning the ball over. Like, we have a shot. It looked like the Steelers didn't really show up right after that bone crunching game against the Ravens. Like, we actually, I was checking the standings. Maybe the Cowboys could come in first. And then in typical Dallas form, they blow it at the end. No help from the referees. I really feel like, I know it's crybaby a little bit, but I really feel like Pittsburgh got the last 5 calls or no calls. I know you'll disagree with your Lemieux jersey hanging in the background, but anyway, You're on the league needs the Steelers to be undefeated on Thanksgiving, right? This Cowboys team is going nowhere.
Listen, I talked to everybody, Mafia, everybody. I said, I don't try. Like, when he first told me it was 9.5, when it opened, and I was like, I'll take the 9.5. I'm on the 9.5. Mafia says, are you really taking Dallas against Pittsburgh? And then I talked to my son, who's insane, and I actually listened to him. He's like, they'll win that game by 2 touchdowns at least. And I said, I think they'll play down to the Cowboys, and they won't cover. Sure enough, they all convinced me to flip. And whenever I flip, I'm Flip Wilson. I lose the bet. If I touch a bet I've already made it, I always lose. What did you think of Tampa's performance? I said to Carver High, I cannot put them in the Super Bowl or in the NFC Championship the way they looked last night. How can you lose to the Saints twice and get your ass beat like that and then tell me you're going to the Super Bowl?
That was awful. And I think when we talked Monday, I said that the Bucs will look past the Giants. They'll win. They won't win big, much like the Steelers did with the Cowboys yesterday. But they're looking past the Giants at the Saints. I was wrong. I don't know what they're looking past. Maybe they're looking past that game because they did not show up last night. Brady just looked like statuesque in that pocket. That defense, who showed up for like 2 weeks, the two previous weeks, they were non-existent. The Saints really wanted that game more and looked more talented. That said, I don't know. Is there anyone in the NFC that wouldn't be surprised if they got knocked out in the first round? I mean, maybe Green Bay or New Orleans, but I think any of these teams could make it to the championship game or get knocked out. It's that kind of season for the NFC.
You know, after what I saw last night, it's hard for me to pick them over the Saints, to pick them over Rodgers, or frankly, to pick them over Russell Wilson. I think that game in Buffalo, Sal, was a lot harder than anybody wants to admit. I picked the Bills to win that game outright, and I had the number. And all I know is that's a really good football team. I think they'll beat Pittsburgh in Buffalo. And everybody thought Seattle would go in there and cruise. I still think Seattle's very tough.
Yeah, they are. I mean, look, you have Russell Wilson, you're going to be alive, and there's no way you're not alive with that team in the fourth quarter. There have to be extraordinary circumstances, but they played their game, Buffalo. They really did. I think there were like 90 combined rushing yards in that game and 840 passing. I might be wrong, but it's in that range. Like, it doesn't really matter. You just sit back in the shotgun and launch and see how many points you have at the end of the game against Seattle. And Josh Allen came back. Like, he's now a top 4 or 5 MVP candidate. And, yeah, it was good to see out of Buffalo where everyone was, like, kind of hoping that Miami would creep up and steal that division. It's not going to be so easy with Buffalo right there in first place.
What do you think of Cousin Sal, the Finns and Arizona? That was a really good game, and I think that both of these quarterbacks are so exciting. I'm starting to feel like I would love to see both of them somehow get into those extra spots in the NFL playoffs.
Oh, I'm with you. I think it's a big disappointment if the Dolphins are ousted by the Colts or the Browns or even the Raiders for that 7th spot or whatever it is. Great game. It sucks that it came down to a missed field goal at the end. The kicker's like 10 yards short. I mean, we saw the Carolina kicker slide and now won 68 yards. It was off center. But how are these guys coming up short with kicks? It really undermines the whole Kyler Murray versus Tua aspect of the game. But I really love watching the young quarterbacks like that. After watching Big Ben, as good as he's been, these guys in the pocket, Big Ben, Brady, some of these old guys that can't move, they kill drives, you know, 3 drives a game just because they can't get out of their own way. It's refreshing to see Tua and Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray had 110 yards rushing. They win that game, he's a top 2 MVP candidate right now.
Do you like what you're seeing from the Raiders? They somehow find a way to win games. They got a winning record. They stole that game as the Chargers screwed it up again at the end. But I love watching this kid be the quarterback for the Chargers. Herbert, I think, has been incredible.
Yeah, I really feel bad for that Charger team. And I don't know how much you want to. I like Anthony Lynn. You watch him on Hard Knocks. I'm rooting for the guy. But this team, what are they, 2-6? Or they have way more talent than deserve to have a 2-6 record. It used to be they blew 16-point leads or more. Now it's just coming down to the last play. Did the guy catch it or did it hit the ground? And I'm with you on Herbert. You know why I like him? He throws long. He actually needs the touch pass going a little better. He throws long downfield. You don't see that at a rookie too much. You see a lot of these older quarterbacks, even Drew Brees, it's just a 4-yard pass here and there. But I love Herbert. I love whatever. I really love all the rookie quarterbacks. It makes me wonder if we should sign Dak for $45 million a year as a Cowboys, because I feel like you have two or three of these guys in every draft now.
You know, this week coming up on Sunday, there's going to be more of this dangerous rolling the dice type spreads. Packers laying 14 to the Jags at Lambeau. Do you get sketchy? I laid the 20 with the Chiefs Jets, and I covered. They won 35-9, if you remember. Are you willing to go into those woods?
So they have a week to prepare, right, for this guy, Luton. It's going to be Luton, right? Minshew's not back for Jacksonville. Oh, man. I mean, you do wait for them to have just put a smackdown on someone, right? Like a 45-6 type of game. Maybe this is it, but I don't know. I see more and more teams not getting up for the crappier teams, and I'm sorry, Jacksonville falls in that category. So avoid the big spread. Obviously, throw it in any money line parlay you want, but Packers laying that many points might be too much.
So tonight you've got a divisional game, Pats, Jets, and it looks like your boy Flacco is going to go. No Sam Darnold, unless I'm crazy, right? But the Pats are so bad. Do you really think they can cover double digits, a 10 spot against that Jets defense? I have my, doubts.
I do too. There's two competing forces here. Does Bill Belichick want to lose again? Does continue the streak, but also do the players, who gets up for the Jets anymore? Like, how could a player really get up for this game? All right, we got to win this game by 30. This offense struggles anyway. We saw some life against the Bills, but this Patriots offense, I'm not convinced that Cam's going to throw for two touchdowns and run for one and have, put them around 30 points. I think the problem with the Jets is if you look at their numbers, they fold in the second half like nobody's business. The last two second halves, they had 4 yards in the second half. They had 48 yards, I think, in the second half a couple of games. So they need to catch a lead here to stay within the 9.5, but I would take the points here.
All right, Sal, good stuff. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you again next week. Have a great week betting. Always good to see you, brother.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So let me ask Cam, what did you think of what Notre Dame did on Saturday night, not only beating Clemson, but after that game, what happened on the field with the fans crushing that field and celebrating? I mean, I didn't even – like, because back in the day, you'd watch it, you'd be like, this is awesome. Nowadays, in 2020, you'd watch it, the first thing you think of is how many people are going to die.
Yeah, infection. That's what I'm thinking. Who's going to infect who? But I'll tell you this, Scotty, I can't lie to you. I had money on Notre Dame. I was very happy. Hey, let the crowd party, and they can get give each other COVID for all I really care. All I care about, me, you, and everybody on the grid, is to make money. But that Sunday night game with the Bucks literally sent us back, man. We're flush. We were flush. Now we're broke. We went crazy on that game, and I'm an absolute stooge for believing Tom Brady could get it done. Thank God for the live under.
Listen, I hit Notre Dame as well to win and getting the 5.5. And I got to tell you, whatever that thing was I just saw with the video, when they got the graphic up with the traffic moving, I mean, that is like high-end stuff they got going there now. Like, I don't know, I was out a week, I come back, they got traffic going through the video. I mean, it is just really taking their game to a whole new level. I'll see you next hour, Cam. Good stuff. Carmen, let's talk about the Irish with the big win in double overtime over Clemson. I was, when it happened, I said to you how great the game was. I was watching it. It was crazy. That's a huge win for Notre Dame. And I got to tell you, I hear all this stuff, our friend Jerry Palm saying they won't make the playoff. I mean, if they win out, they're going to be in that playoff. He's tripping.
Yeah, he is, Scotty, and it helped Notre Dame in the aspect that if they do lose to Clemson, if they face them again in the ACC title game, they have some ammunition now, you know, in terms of, look at this big win that we did have. We split with them. Why should they be in ahead of us? But that's a bridge that we're going to cross as we get closer to it. Let's start it off, Scotty. Like you said, an absolute classic Saturday night, 47-40, the final in double overtime. Let's hear the final call from the great Mike Tirico on NBC.
Still the Irish can knock him off on this snap. Rushing three, dropping eight. Uliangalele steps up, loads and throws. It's caught. It's pitched backwards, up in the air. It's on the ground, still in Clemson's hands. And now it is down. It is over. And the Irish have knocked off number one Clemson.
It was an unbelievable game. I guess there's going to be people that think, okay, Trevor Lawrence didn't play, so it doesn't count. Let's see what happens when they play him in the ACC title game. The problem I have with that is, cry me a river. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got injuries. Your quarterback gets COVID. He can't play. Don't cry to me. Notre Dame won the game. Notre Dame knocked off another number one. It's happened, what, 9 times in history? They do it, it seems like, at least once a decade. It's been a while since they did it, Lou Holtz and knocking off Florida State. But I remember being there for many games in South Bend, just like that game on Saturday night. And Notre Dame deserves all the credit. You can say whatever you want about him not playing. Notre Dame won the game. They got the ante, if you ask me. They got the juice right now for the playoff, not Clemson.
And listen, you know, DJU, you know, Scotty, he threw for 440 yards. The kid played great. How much better was Lawrence going to do? I mean, what, a couple of mistakes maybe that he made? Was he throwing for more than 440 yards like the kid did? I'm not so sure about that. Let's hear from Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach, says that his team will respond from this game.
As I always tell everybody, it's not what happens, it's how you respond. And I know this is going to hurt for a couple of days for us, but we'll get back to work on Monday, and we'll put this in the rearview mirror just like we always do. You know, Florida State will be the biggest game of the year. And we'll battle our tails off and see if we can get back on track with a win and stay in the hunt for this lead, because everything goes through Charlotte for us in the ACC.
Look, they're a really good football team. There's no getting around it. I don't deny any of that. And they're very talented and very deep. And now it's Alabama and Notre Dame. End of discussion. Boom, period.
And last thing from this game, Scotty, without question, at least for me, biggest win for Brian Kelly since he's been at Notre Dame. He's had some opportunities against top teams. He finally gets it done. Let's listen to him. He's got another one with Boston College coming up this week. He's not even thinking, Scotty, about the college football playoff yet.
We got so much more work to do. And look, BC is going to be a challenge for us. I've got to get this football team back up, emotionally ready to play. And you know, BC's we've got a target on our backs now. So there are so many more things on my plate relative to what I have to do than really concern myself with playoffs and who's in and who's not in. There are other people that will do that because the real challenge now is to keep this football team accelerating. We've got a lot of things we got to work on that we saw today, and that will be my focus moving forward, is to get this football team ready for BC.
Yeah, because BC can give them problems. They covered against Clemson, almost beat them outright in Death Valley. They got a great quarterback. I won't be surprised at all if this is a great game. I also believe Notre Dame will have some kind of letdown after beating Clemson. I don't know how you get over that hangover and go play Boston College. They're going to have their hands full, I can guarantee you. Here's the other thing. You mentioned Kelly. Look, you know, they're never satisfied in any sport anymore at all, ever, with your coach. You lose 2 or 3 games, fire the coach. It's all you ever hear. There's never any credit for winning. And it's all about, when are you going to fire Brian Kelly? Brian Kelly has done such a phenomenal job at Notre Dame in South Bend, it's not even funny. You can talk all you want. He's been in championship games and lost. He's been in the playoff and lost. He's been in title games. He's won massive amounts of big games, in my opinion. This is another notch in the belt. They couldn't find a better coach at Notre Dame than Brian Kelly anywhere. The only guy that could even coach Notre Dame better than this guy is Urban Meyer. That's it. Who else is going to do a better job than Brian Kelly? Brian Kelly on Saturday night just locked himself in for another decade in South Bend.
And it is kind of strange, Scotty, when they beat Florida State in 93, who did they lose to the next game? The same team that they're playing this week. It's really bizarre that they're playing Boston College after beating number one in the country, and the same thing happened in 93. Hopefully, not the same result for them like it was against Boston College that year. You talked about all the kids running on the field with Cam. Look, it is what it is. It shouldn't have happened. The kids probably should have stayed up in the stands, but it is what it is. How about, Scotty, let's get to the Indiana Hoosiers. For the first time since 1988, they knock off the Michigan Wolverines, and Jim Harbaugh, you must have been happy on Saturday afternoon. They didn't just beat him, Scotty. They beat their ass, let's be fair.
Yeah, and I was really excited because I had Indiana to win outright and getting a three and a hook. All I know is that, and I went on a show like on, I think, Friday on TV, and I said that Indiana hasn't beaten Michigan since Bill Mallory. That's how long it had been. And that was the same story for beating a top 10 team when they beat Penn State. That's how long it had been since they beat Ohio State in Columbus in 1987. I was a senior at Indiana University when that happened. But this is a really good Indiana football team. I hope that the number 10 ranking doesn't get to their heads, because I don't think they're that good. I think their quarterback has some issues throwing the ball. They're not a good third down team, but on Saturday they were an incredible third down team. They had the worst numbers on third down in the conference going into that game. They just don't succeed on third down, but on Saturday against Michigan, they succeeded every single time on third down. I think that's why they beat Michigan. Michigan's got problems. No pass rush, no sacks, no turnovers, no running game. The first week against Minnesota, they ran the ball down the Gophers' throat. And here's why. Because Minnesota doesn't matter. Then they played good teams, and they got their ass beat because they have none of the above. No rushing, no pass attack, no sack ability. They don't stop anybody. And Jim Harbaugh keeps talking about they're close. They're close to losing again is what they're doing.
Elsewhere around the Big Ten on Saturday, Northwestern goes to 3-0. They beat Nebraska. Iowa blows out Michigan State to get their first win. Speaking of blowouts, how about the Nittany Lions of Penn State, who got absolutely embarrassed by Maryland and Tua's brother, Tulia? They absolutely lit them up. 0-3 now, Scotty, for Penn State. Ohio State wins, but they did not cover against Rutgers. And they're playing Maryland, so that's the matchup this week. Ohio State-Maryland, a high line again for Maryland, who's covered 2 weeks in a row, outright beating Minnesota and Penn State. This week, Scotty, they play Ohio State.
Yeah, this week they'll lose. The question is, will they cover? And I think they can cover. And let me just be clear on Penn State. Their season's over. Completely over. So it doesn't even matter now. It doesn't even matter if anyone even gets COVID on the team. The season's over. Down the drain. Toilet. And it stinks. I mean, you got to run. Bring out the Febreze, because somebody just yammed up in the men's room. And it is bad. Penn State with a stench behind after the Sunday debriefing in the men's header.
Jeez, tough scene for the Nittany Lions. Scotty, Florida, really nice job by them. They got down 14-0 early to Georgia, and they absolutely smoked them the rest of the game. Trask was awesome. They are now in a spot where if they keep winning, they're going to get a chance to play Alabama in the SEC title game. And if they can win that, Scotty, that'll put them in the playoff.
They're a really good team and a really good quarterback. And the thing that I noticed above all else in that football game is how bad Georgia's quarterbacking is. They have no quarterback. That kid Bennett sucks. Boom. There you go. They're not winning anything with him, and they're not going to the playoff now. Georgia's season's over, too.
Yes, they're done. They've got two losses. They're finished. The Pac-12 started. I know they didn't play all the games. USC rallied to beat Arizona State. Oregon opens up with a win over Stanford.
I love that Arizona State cover and the USC win. All I did was make people money this week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast on a Misery Monday, Carver High, there's still a lot of college material to hit here. We got to hit the books, you know. We skipped a lot of classes to drink beer on Thursday night, quarter beer night. Not good. Friday's kegger night. Saturday night, shots and beers night. Sunday, sleep, gamble on NFL. Ask your parents for Monday. You know, money. You got to get it all going, and we're just a mess. So we got to look at the rest of the college.
Yeah, I'm no. There's no problem with me rolling into class on Monday morning after a wild weekend like that, Scotty. That's perfectly fine. Did you see the end of the Liberty Va Tech game and the craziness? Liberty lines up for the game-winning field goal. Va Tech blocks it, brings it back to the house for the touchdown, but the idiot coach called timeout, and therefore they get to try it again. But Hugh Freeze decides, let me get a little bit closer, runs one play, picks up 8 or 9 yards, and then the kid drains it. Nice job by Liberty against the Hokies.
You know, they're a really good team, and there's just no getting around it. The Christians are just rocking it on the football field. And you can blame Va Tech, blame Fuente, blame, you know, your own coach called the timeout. That freezing kickers thing has been going on in the NFL and in college football for far too long. And, it, you know, bottom line, do you remember the night the kid from the Chiefs, he kicked 4 in a row that they froze the timeouts and everything else, and he still kicked a 60-yarder. You know, you just can't tell me that it works every time, and they do it every time, and it's gotten stale. And I'll tell you what, this week Liberty's laying like 32 and a hook against some hack team they're playing. It's one of their – it's a scheduling mistake, obviously, because of the COVID, but they mean business. And blame Va Tech, they blew the game.
Two teams that are still undefeated, they're climbing up the rankings, and they're hoping that they're going to have a shot to get into the playoff. Both took care of business big time this weekend, Scotty. Friday night, BYU absolutely destroyed Boise on the blue turf. They embarrassed them. And then Cincinnati on Saturday afternoon, they took care of business against Houston. They had no chance, ran it down their throat all day. Those two teams, Scotty, they got both have good chances of being undefeated at the end. I don't know if they deserve to be in a playoff, but they're both probably going to be undefeated.
You know, I agree with you, Mike. I think that you know, they're both really tough teams, and Cincinnati can really score and defend. And I couldn't believe what BYU did to Boise on the road, no less. They scalped them. It was unbelievable. Now, look, there are teams like that that have to be worthy in this crazy year. It's 2020. Chaos has been everywhere. Why not continue and let some teams that have fantastic seasons get a taste of this thing? I don't want to watch, and I'll say this over and over, between now and the time they decide the four powers that they're going to put in there, because you know they're going to shaft BYU and Cincinnati. And, you know, the only team I'd say that has a shot at that thing that they would even think about is A&M, the way they're playing football for Jimbo Fisher. But they're not going to respect BYU and Cincinnati, although I would disagree with that. I think that they should. I think all three of those teams should have heavy consideration than these teams with one loss, two losses that they continuously let into this thing. I heard on Saturday, again, every single Saturday, if you watch CBS and you watch the SEC game of the week, you hear the same thing every week. They're going to let two SEC teams into the playoff. I'm sick and tired of Pharrell and having two SEC teams in the playoff every year. I don't care how many good teams they got in that conference. They should let one in max, and that's it. And start letting some of these other schools that are good in football and that have great seasons get a taste.
UNC embarrasses Duke on Saturday afternoon. No surprise there. Memphis gets a last-second win over USF, 34-33. Big comeback for them. Utah State didn't take them long. The second term of Gary Anderson, they sent him to the showers. He is out. Arkansas beat Tennessee on Saturday night, Scotty. Unfortunately for me, I had Tennessee big time. I thought that they would show up and win at Arkansas. They blew the game. They had a 13-0 lead at the half and then got ran out of the building. And then their coach, Arkansas, Sam Pittman, tested positive for COVID, so he's going to work virtually. It seems like, and this, we're about to get to this, a big problem throughout the SEC. You mentioned Texas A&M. They destroyed South Carolina on Saturday night. I mean, it wasn't even close. I think it was 41-0 somewhere in that aspect. The problem for Texas A&M in terms of with them in Florida and maybe getting that other spot, they already got their ass beat by Alabama this year. They're not going to get a chance to play them again because they're in the same division as Alabama, whereas Florida will get a crack at Alabama, even though Florida lost to Texas A&M. So a very tricky situation. But the Aggies have been very good for Jimbo, Scotty.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they're playing really good football. And going back to Arkansas, I got to tell you, just real simple here. They're making people all kinds of money this year, bettors. I mean, yes. Ever since they, you know what I mean? Like, since they won a game, and they hadn't won a game in, like, 17 conference games, they finally win a game, right? Since that time that they won a game, I think they've covered every single week, every single game. They covered. I had them on Saturday. They did it again. That team, I couldn't name one player on the entire team. I couldn't – until today, I didn't know that Pittman was the coach. I still don't even know who that is. Does he live down the street from me? I don't even know who their coach is. But I know this much. Every single week I bet on Arkansas, I make money. So screw everything else. I don't care who's sick. I don't care who their quarterback is. All I know is every time I see Arkansas, I bet on them and I win money.
In the Big 12, Iowa State needed a huge second-half comeback to beat Baylor. Oklahoma State also needed a comeback to win at Kansas State. They barely squeaked one out there in Manhattan.
They're not that good.
So the Big 12, they're not that good at all. You're right. We had a crazy one between Colorado and UCLA. Good start for Chip Kelly. You would have thought, Scotty, by his third year now, Chip Kelly would have things, you know, kind of in order at UCLA. They get 47-41, and they were getting blown out most of that game. They came back in the fourth quarter. They lose at Boulder, who's supposed to be like the worst team in the Pac-12 this year. Well, I guess UCLA now is going to be the worst team in the Pac-12. Pitt gets the win at FSU. I give to you, Scotty, the newest and latest AP Top 25. After all of the action we just talked about, Alabama number one, Notre Dame number two, Ohio State three, Clemson four. You see the rest right there.
Yeah, look, there you go. We already know who the heavyweights are. We know who all those teams are. That's fine and dandy. I know some of those late games you were talking about. I bet on Colorado outright to win that game, and they did. I love that. So they'll probably turn around this week and get whacked. Who knows? But as far as the rankings go, I don't have a problem with anything. I told you A&M's crept up to number five. They mean business. I wouldn't be surprised you're right about Florida and what you suggested, Carver. I think I like that kid Trask. You're right about A&M losing big to Alabama, so that may cause them. But obviously they're respecting A&M the way they're playing football right now as opposed to losing to Alabama. You know, let's remember, everyone goes to Alabama and gets their ass beat.
That's exactly right. Let's just now wrap up with all the COVID trouble in the SEC that's all come out today, Scotty. First of all, Mississippi State and Auburn is off this week. Game has been canceled after positive tests in the Mississippi State program. Texas A&M, who we were just talking about, they've suspended football activities today with positive tests. LSU and Alabama is in jeopardy with a small outbreak amongst the LSU team. So the SEC, Scotty, made it a few weeks pretty good. The only one I can remember was that Florida a few weeks ago when they were out, missed a game or two. But now this is rough. You got a bunch of games that could be in jeopardy this week in the SEC.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, just off the top of my head, I know that like that Alabama line was like, I don't know, 23.5 or something like that. I could be wrong what it is on FanDuel. All I know is that the games that they canceled, the Mississippi State game and that LSU-Alabama, if they cancel that, look, those are really hard games this week with the spread to bet on. I was noticing that when I was doing my plays for this week, which I have done, and I get to Mafia for PharrellandAvenge.com. So I'm not crying that those games have been postponed because I think they are going to be really hard to cover and win the bets.
Our boy Aaron Torres at Fox had a good idea over the weekend on Twitter because BYU basically has no games left. They have two games left on the schedule. They're 7-0. All these teams that find out early in the week that they're not going to play, and if you're the healthy team like Auburn is this week, why not schedule a game, try to see if in a week notice they can schedule a game with BYU. Give BYU a chance to play some heavies. I don't think it's going to work. Maybe with the Big Ten as well, if you know, if they find out games are canceled, maybe BYU can get some opportunities to play some more games because their schedule's pretty much done. A couple of baseball notes, Scotty. Alex Cora, what a surprise. Alex Cora back as the manager of the Red Sox. They probably knew, Scotty, when they had their mutually parting of ways before his suspension back in the spring. Don't worry, we're going to get you when the season's over. You just, we'll interview 10 other people and make it look like we're not going to hire you, but then we'll bring you back. So nice cushy landing for Cora.
It might very well have gone the way you're suggesting. And I also know this. I don't really care how he got the gig. I know that he's going to manage now a terrible team. So before, when he was the manager, they were loaded and they were World Series champs while they were cheating. And they had a really good team and they had great players, Mookie Betts. They had great pitching, bullpen, everything. They had all the pieces and they won the World Series. Now they're an utter disaster and they have nothing on that team at all. So they gave him a 2-year deal with a 2-year option. And I think that it's because they know where they are right now as a franchise. The Red Sox are awful. He got a lot of work to do. It's going to be a long climb up the mountain in Boston because they're a mess.
The Mets cleaned house after the Steve Cohen ownership became official. Brody Van Wagenen, he's out as general manager. Omar Minaya, all the guys underneath him. Big house cleaning from Steve Cohen. Alderson, of course, is now in charge of the baseball operations. No punishment, Scotty, for Justin Turner after the post-game World Series incident where he was running around on the field despite testing positive for COVID. But the Dodgers organization, you know, they do have 9 positive tests. So I guess it didn't work out that great for them having Turner on the field.
Look, I think this commissioner, you know how I feel about him. So that's just another lack of control over his league. Like to let this guy break every rule and to do whatever he wanted while he was sick with the COVID and it tested positive and just ran out on the field and partied with everybody. And now 9 of them are sick. I think it makes Rob Manfred once again look, he's a simpleton. To me, I mean, I think the guy has butchered his job since the day he got it. And it's just another example of it. They should have punished him in some capacity or another, but nothing at all. They did nothing at all to him. That's amazing. And as far as the Mets, I don't know what they're doing other than they should have fired that manager, too. The whole thing should have been fired. The whole kit and caboodle. Because, listen, I laughed and made fun of the day they hired Brody Van Wagenen. And, you know, the difference between Brody Van Wagenen and Rob Pelinka is that Rob Pelinka has LeBron James and Brody Van Wagenen had not one player, not one player. So here's an agent that's going to be a GM, huh? Except he had no talent. So you lose.
The Indians are going to trade Francisco Lindor. Jeff Lue now assumes the Astros for $22 million. The Nationals invite Joe Biden to throw out the first pitch. I got to get the basketball, Scotty. You can now not talk to your family on Christmas Day. They're going to play 72 games starting December 22nd. The big Christmas Day slate. I know that you're happy about it. Now you can go sit in the office by yourself and not talk to anybody.
Is there anything better than watching 5 NBA games on Christmas Day and not listening to your family members as they get sloppy drunk as the day passes by and they eat all of the munchies and then never finish their dinner at the Christmas dinner and everybody's sloppy drunk and they let their true feelings out of what they think of you by the end of the night? I never liked you. I never loved you. Pass me the vodka, you. I hate you. Give me the green weed, you son of a... You and your Chauncey stupid Phillips sports with credit and all of your fancy gambling friends and sloppiness. Watching NBA on Christmas Day is Satan worshiping.
Chauncey Billups will get to probably spend Christmas Day with Ty Lue. He's going to be on his staff in L.A. Mark Jones hired as the Kings' new television play-by-play announcer.
That's a nice move there. Good power move. The other guy got fired for being a racist, and they bring in a great play-by-play guy like Jones. Smart.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know what's great about being back from vacation where I didn't really do anything except, a construction project in my house. I did nothing. I didn't travel. It was the worst vacation of my life. The best part of being back is that I've been on for an hour? And in every break, we've spent at least the entire break talking bad about people, which is just one of my favorite things.
It's one of the things that you enjoy doing the most. And you probably missed it while you were at, you know, at home doing all the miserable things that you were just talking about. There was probably points during the day where you said, I really want to talk bad about people right now. And you didn't have that outlet to do it. So now you get a chance like, to do it again.
We came on. I was talking bad about people before we even started the show today, which was even better. When I get into it with the guys setting up the show, that's even better. One other thing I wanted to talk bad about people right now. Chris Archer, they declined the option on him. The worst trade in Pirates history was Chris Archer. They gave away their entire team that became played in the World Series, Glasnow, all the rest of them. The whole team they traded for Chris Archer, who never won a game in Pittsburgh. You bum. I hope your arm falls off. And the Lakers are going to go after Serge Ibaka is the rumor going around. That guy still has game. I'll give him that. I think he could be like Dwight Howard for them. And then Sterling Brown reaches a settlement with the civil rights lawsuit in Milwaukee for $750,000. Remember when the cops messed with Sterling Brown? And the Masters this week, Sergio's out. I can't wait for the Masters Carver High at Augusta. No azaleas, but we got the Masters this week. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yes, they've been putting out some great pictures on Twitter of how the colorful leaves. Look at the odds right here. Bryson, the leader right now. Tiger, 40-1, Scotty. Let's lay a couple bucks on Tiger to win at the Masters this weekend. How about it?
I just made a bet on Sergio to win it. He's not playing in it. No. DeChambeau hitting big bombs, baby. Let's get it on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.